chapter number 5. Revelation chapter 5 is only a few verses, 14 verses. And then we'll jump right into chapter number 6 real quick and talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Revelation chapter number 5. And now, what we might mention just in introduction is chapters 4 and chapter 5 go together. And chapter 4 and chapter 5 happen in heaven. When we start chapter 6 happens at the beginning of the tribulation. So you've got 4 and 5 that's happening up in heaven, while chapter 6 is going on down here. So, not on?
It didn't go live, Jeremy.
All right, hang on. Pause for commercial.
Let's see. Start streaming. And it should pick up right about there.
All right, so I'm going to hit it that time.
I'm looking.
All right. Revelation chapter number 5. We're going to be in Revelation chapter number 5 tonight. By way of introduction, let me say chapters 4 and chapter 5 go together. And chapter 4 and chapter 5 happen in heaven, while chapter 6 is going on down on this earth. And that's why it's so confusing. Sometimes people get confused about the book of Revelation. It's not in chronological order. There's a lot of things happening at the same time. And John says, all right, pause. Let's go up to heaven. Let me tell you what's up going on up there. That's chapter 4 and 5. And then while that's going on, and while we're doing what we're doing up there, chapter 6, 7, and 8 is going on down here. So that's the way it's laid out. Look at chapter number 5, and let's look at verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now, this book, this sealed book, I'm not for sure. It could be the book of Daniel. It could be the Bible. You remember in the book of Daniel, it said, seal up the book. And in Revelation, we're going to release the seals. And so Daniel wasn't, he was supposed to seal it up. Revelation, they're looking for somebody to release them. Who's worthy to release the 7 seals? Now, sometimes, matter of fact, on my Bible, you'll notice, well, it's worn out now, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals on the Bible. And that's the way they did that. This could be the 7 seal book that he's talking about. And look at verse number 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John says, I was upset and crying because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Well, that's a good place to say amen. Amen. Because they looked, and in other words, they looked. You know that song we sang, Oh, What a Savior? And in part of that song, it says they searched through heaven looking for a Savior. They wasn't searching through heaven looking for a Savior. They searched through heaven looking for somebody worthy to open that book. Right. And nobody down here was worthy to open it. And nobody under the earth was worthy to open it. And so the Lion of the tribe of Judah steps out on the scene. And he's ready to prevail and open the book. And what happens is, you say, how did he prevail? Well, Jesus prevailed. Remember this, Jesus prevailed in the wilderness against the devil in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus prevailed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He prevailed on Calvary when he died on the cross. And he prevailed on Easter Sunday morning when the stone rolled away. He prevailed over the death, hell, and the grave. And so he's the only one that's worthy to open this book. And so Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spirits of God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now, the lamb. Notice verse 5, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 6, a lamb, and it looked like he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now those seven horns, seven is the number of perfection, so he's perfect in wisdom and perfect in power. And this lamb, notice John said over there in John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He came as a lamb, and he's coming back as a lion. The tribe of Judah. Now, notice this lamb that's in heaven that pictures Jesus Christ has wounds. Now, think about this. There's only one thing in heaven that's made by man.
Amen.
And those are the scars in the hands of Jesus. You say, does Jesus still have his scars in his hands in heaven? Sure he does. You say, can you prove it? I sure can. John, y'all remember John 13? They were in the upper room, and Doubting Thomas, he wasn't at church that night. And Jesus appeared in the room. And so everybody, you know, they went home and told Thomas, hey, man, we had a great service. Jesus showed up that night. And he said, man, I hate to miss it. I was fishing, you know. And his name could have been Jerry. I don't know. But anyways, Thomas. He came back the next time. And if you remember, Thomas wanted to know if that was him. And Jesus says, see, and this is after the resurrection. See, here are the nail prints in his hand. That's in his resurrected body. So when we get to heaven, you think about this. Every time you pass the Lord, walking down the street, sure do thank you. It's a reminder of what he done for us. Yeah. That lamb that had been slain. Then look at verse number 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every and people and nations, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, let me pause and say something about this. They're singing a new song in heaven. Now, the first time this happened, the first time that God's people ever sang is in the book of Exodus. I can't quote the chapter, but it's in the book of Exodus, and it's when Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. Where the Red Sea parted, they walked across on dry ground, and when they got on the other side, the Bible says they sang a new song. And it was the song of redemption. We've been redeemed out of Egypt. We've been redeemed, delivered from Pharaoh. And so when this group gets in heaven, they're singing the same song that the nation of Israel sang when they got over at the promised land. And this group is singing the same song. Guess why? They've been delivered and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so that's what they're going to be doing in heaven, and that's what we'll be doing. When we get there, we'll be joining in, singing that new song about the blood. You think about this. I preach sermons about this all the time and make mention of it. But you think about this. Angels sing. They sing all the time. They sing about his power. They sing about his creation. They sing about his omniscience, all-knowing, all that kind of thing. They sing about God. But there's one thing they can't sing about.
Right.
And that is the redemption and salvation of God. God, Jesus didn't die for the angels.
Amen.
He died for us.
Amen.
And so when we get up there, we'll be able to sing a song that the angels have never heard, have never sung before. Isn't that something? All right, look at verse number 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, think about this. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. So obviously John got tired of counting. He got up to 100 million and he says, and thousands and thousands. There's no telling. Now, think. Just try to picture this if you could. This is what they're doing. Verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, can you imagine over 100 million people all together singing with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Can you imagine that? Now, you think about, I know we've watched the 300 voice choir and the 400 voice choir of somebody, and you just sit back in amazement because they're all singing in the four-part harmony, and they're all singing with a loud voice, and it's just wonderful. Can you imagine over 100 million people doing the same thing? I can promise you this. You'll do more than just go. Amen. Now down here, after you've worked all day and you're in Bible study, sometimes it's just, you're like, whoo, you know, this is good. Well, you get up there and hear that.
Amen.
Oh, wow. And verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said what?
Amen.
Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now that's good. Now, let's look at chapter number 6. Remember I said chapter 4, chapter 5 was going on in heaven. We just had a heavenly scene up there. That's what they're doing up there. Singing and praising, honoring God, this, that, and the other. And they've got somebody that's worthy. Jesus Christ proved himself worthy to open the book and open the seals that Daniel was told to close. So Revelation is going to open everything Daniel saw and then add some more to it. Now, let's go back down to the earth and let's look and see what's going on in chapter number 6. Chapter number 6 is the beginning of the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation. How do you know that the tribulation is 7 years? Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 25, 26, and 27, and it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the nation of Israel. This is in the book of Daniel. This is the part that's been sealed. There's 69 of those weeks have been fulfilled. That's 390 years. 7 more years are left. And that is the 7-year tribulation. The first part of that tribulation is going to be peace. Peace, peace, peace. The last 3.5 years is going to be total destruction. The first 3.5, everything's going to be running pretty good. Everybody's trying to settle in after the church leaves out of here. All the saved leave out of here. The first part is going to be somebody's going to come to the scene and bring peace, settle everybody back down. And then about middle ways, that person's going to take over and bring in full destruction for the last 3.5 years. And we're fixing to see that by these four horsemen that come out in the beginning of the tribulation. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now remember, there were four beasts around the throne. That first beast was a beast of the lion. So you got this lion that says, I want y'all to come and see what's going on down here. The noise of thunder. That thunder announces that a storm is on the way. Something's fixing to break loose down here, and you don't want to be a part of it.
Right.
You better make sure you go up right here.
Amen.
And don't miss what we're talking about tonight. But something is fixing to happen. The thunder announces that a storm is on the way. And then you got verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, let's pause right there. That's the first horse. That first horse is at the beginning of the tribulation period. And that first horse starts out at the beginning of the tribulation period. I draw a horse, but I don't know how to. So let me just do it this way. How about that?
There you go.
That first horse rider is a white horse, and the guy that's sitting on that white horse has a bow in his hand and a crown, one crown and a bow. And he went forth to conquer and conquering and to conquer. Now, do you see the similarity? All right, let me just quote you without turning to it. Revelation 19, verse number 11 says, and behold, I saw heaven open and a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Well, Revelation 6 and verse 1 is not the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an imposter. Why? Because the devil always duplicates what God does. That's how he deceives. That's how he deceives the church and deceives people all over. It's because he makes it look like, I'll give you for instance, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the Trinity. The devil has the same thing. It's called the unholy Trinity, the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. Those three are one. The Holy Spirit, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, the devil duplicated that to deceive everybody. The beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. Guess what the Antichrist does? In chapter 13, 13 is the number of rebellion. 13. In chapter 13, the Antichrist is wounded in the head. And on the third day, raises from the dead. And everybody wonders at him because they're thinking, you know what? I read in the Bible somewhere where our Messiah is going to raise from the dead. Wrong one. He's a master deceiver. So this guy on the white horse is not the same one as Revelation 19. You say, how do you know? Well, there's several. Jesus comes out of heaven. And this guy don't. In Revelation 6, this guy has one crown on his head. Revelation 19, the Lord has many crowns on his head. Revelation 19, armies follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And Revelation 6, guess what follows? Follows him, death and hell. It's an amazing thing. The Antichrist always, always duplicates. Think about this. Jesus has a bride. It's called the church. Satan has a bride as well, and it's called Mystery Babylon. Jesus is the light of the world. Satan is called the angel of light. Isn't that something? Always trying to duplicate. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Satan is called the Prince of this world. John 14. Anyway, so this white horse rider, notice, he is an imposter. He's a false Christ. This false Christ is the Antichrist. Now, notice, he has a bow but no arrow. So what does that mean? That means he has a bow but nothing to shoot in that bow, so he's coming with peace. He's not coming to make war. He's coming. Remember I told you the first 3.5 years is peace. So this white horse rider is coming to bring peace. A bow. How do you shoot a bow and arrow? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Peace. You ever notice the peace sign? That's up. We see a lot of the, you know, who was it? I know Winston Churchill used to, you know, he would do it, you know. you ever notice this? The peace sign. Is an upside down broken cross. Everybody looks at it, oh, it's a peace sign, it's a peace sign. Oh yeah, it is a peace sign, but it is an upside down broken cross. What it is. Isn't that something? I mean, there's a lot of things. Sometimes you'll see it's an amazing thing what we do with those. You know, it's an amazing thing, don't you? You know,
go ahead, preacher.
And have you ever noticed? I mean, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Anyway. It's the sign of, you remember, I don't know if y'all, this is back in one of the churches that we talked about in Revelation. Remember I told you the story about Nimrod. Nimrod was a bow hunter. Nimrod is a sign, and is a type of the Antichrist. He was a bowman. He was a hunter of the field and used a bow and arrow. Now, this is who this horse rider is. He's the Antichrist. This Antichrist is a fake. He's an imposter. He brings in peace. No arrow, but he brings in peace. There's somebody coming. I don't know who it is. But as soon as, now get ready. As soon as the church leaves out of here, in a moment, twinkle of an eye, every saved person is gone. Boom, vanishes. Well, don't think for a minute that the Washington Post and all of the news networks are going to say, well, you know what? The Bible must have been right. All the Christians have been raptured by the Lord. We missed it. No, they're not going to publicize that.
Right.
You know what they're going to say? We told y'all aliens were going to abduct some people.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that the aliens took all the conservatives. Now we are free to do what we want to do. And so this guy is going to ride in on this white horse, bringing peace. Let me bring peace. I know you've lost some loved ones. I don't know what all has happened, but I can tell you this. If we'll all just stick together, we bring peace to the Middle East. Second Thessalonians says, when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Whomever this guy is, he'll bring in. He'll bring in and he'll join the political world with the religious world and bring them together. You would not. My mind is just going crazy. Think about this. All the problems that we have right now can be solved. Well, now, let me back up and say this. All the problems a Christian has will be solved by this.
Yeah.
All the problems of the world will be solved by this one horse rider. Now listen, think about it. What we have. Illegal immigration. You know what will fix that? We don't need to build a wall. You know what will fix that? I don't know if we'll build a wall or not. I wish they would. I don't know. But I'll tell you a cheaper way to fix illegal immigration. I tell you, everybody get a mark and a chip implanted in their right hand or their forehead. If you don't have one, you can't shop at Walmart, Kroger, the grocery. You can't buy and sell and feed your family unless you've got one of those. You don't need a wall. If you don't have one, you can't buy food over here. So when you come over here, you either get one, they tag you. You go to Walmart, wherever, they got that scanner. Identity. I mean, do we have a problem with identity theft? People taking your credit card, stealing your number every time you put it in a gas pump? Not with this chip no more. No. Scan your hand across the gas pump, it takes it right out of your account. You never punch in any numbers. You never have any cash. No cash. None at all. You can tell, look, I got $3. Hallelujah. We're going good. Dairy Queen sounds good tonight. No cash. A cashless society. Because it's all going to be right here. You go to Walmart, buy your groceries, whatever. Slip your hand across some. I've always wondered, because the Bible says it'd be in your right hand or your forehead. I wonder what the guys and the people in the forehead did. That's always amazing. You know, how are they going to do it? Scan your hand across there. Guess what? Hey, we'll deduct it right out of there, and that'll fix all of that. That'll fix all of those problems. Child abduction, this sex trafficking and all of that. If you got a chip, they'll know exactly where you're at. You're worried about your kid getting kidnapped? Get them a chip. Go down to the Social Security office. Get everybody a chip. This guy's going to bring it up. And it's going to bring peace to the world. Why? Because it's going to solve all of our problems. And they're tracking you anyway.
Amen.
They're already tracking you. You've already got a chip. It just ain't implanted. Think of the technology. They're already doing it in dogs. They're already putting them in the back of their neck there. So, you know, when an animal gets lost, you know, like, how many of you got those? I remember, I know I'm getting off track and I'm not gaining much ground here. I remember the first time we ever bought a Chevy Suburban. This is back, I don't even know if they have OnStar anymore. They have something else now, I don't know. Anyway, do they? There's a button up here that says OnStar. You push this button if you get in trouble. And some voice comes on there and says, you know, is everything okay, Mr. Ballinger? How can we help you? Right? I'm locked out of my truck. Oh, no problem. All the doors come open. Right. How are they doing all that? And people, when I talk the way I talk about the book of Revelation, people look at me like, that's stupid. It's all around us.
That's right.
It's all around us. It's coming to a city near you. Get ready. Because that guy, the first horse rider, fixed to bring it up and bring peace. Now, what will happen over there in Jerusalem, there is a temple mount. The Muslims believe that is where Muhammad ascended from. The Jews believe, and it's pretty close, that's the same spot where Abraham sacrificed was fixing to sacrifice his son Isaac, right there. So this place is sacred to the Jews, and it's sacred to the Muslims. So whoever this guy is going to be has to come in and say, hey, Let's build a temple, man, a temple here that we both can worship in. Remember when we was going through the seven churches of Revelation? Bring them together. Let's bring them all together. And let's be able to bring everybody under the same roof and be able to worship and bring peace. I'm telling you, it's coming. And about halfway through, that guy, when he signs that peace treaty with the nation of Israel, is going to break that and tear it in pieces. And he says, all right, if y'all don't bow down to me, I'm going to cut your head off. And he's going to go in that temple that they just built brand new, and he's going to sit down in the holy of holy places. It's where God's, where Jesus is supposed to sit. And he's going to sit down there and proclaim himself to be God. And when he does, something's going to happen up here. And Jesus says, all right, I've about had all I can handle. Y'all find your white horse and let's go. It's time to go. And he's coming back, second coming, and fixing to, I'm talking about, can't you ball the door? All right. Now, let's go on, because I can get sidetracked easy. Look at verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from their... Take peace. Now, this guy is after this guy. And it's a red one. So you got a white horse here. And this one is a red horse. And he takes peace from this guy. Remember what I just told you? After he signs that peace treaty, about halfway through, they're going to tear that peace treaty up. This red horse takes peace. And power was given to him that set their own to take peace from the earth, and that he should kill, they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. All right, red. I don't have time to go into. Red is always, you may not like this, and I don't know, party and political affiliations in the church. I don't preach that. I just preach the Bible. So watch this. Red is always associated with socialism. Red China. Red Russia. What's Red China? A socialist country. What's this red horse going to bring? He's going to take peace from this one and bring in socialism. The red horse rider could be burning. I don't know. That just went on the internet. I wonder if Bernie's watching. Now, this red horse, he breaks that peace treaty and brings in socialism. And then what will happen, notice what happens next. Look at verse number 5. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Isn't that, that's a mouthful. Now you got the third horse that comes, and it's a black horse. Now, peace, you have socialism, and now you have all-out war. This guy's bringing war. Remember? In Matthew 24 talks about there'll be wars, rumors of wars. All these kinds of things. This black horse rider is going to bring in war. Notice what comes with war is famine. What does it say? A penny. Let me get my eyes on it. A measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. Guess what? Remember I told you? Socialism. Red China, war, and famine. Everybody in the tribulation will be on a socialistic society. A measure of wheat for a penny. Guess what? You go down to the Social Security office once a month and get your allotment for food for your family. A penny ain't much. But notice, guess what? Now you may think I'm crazy. Well, I may be. But I might be screwed on the right boat. That last phrase in verse 6 says, "And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." You know who's got the oil and the wine? The rich. You know who's going to fund the whole thing? What are they talking about right now? Increasing taxes on the rich to take care of. We're almost here. Socialism. How often do you hear that? You hear it on every time you turn on television. Somebody's trying to bring in free this and free that. I got news for you. Ain't nothing free. Somebody has to pay for it.
Right.
You got free health care. There's no such thing. Free college tuition. There's no such thing. Somebody paid for it.
Amen.
It may be free to you. It costs somebody.
Right.
And it costs the oil and the wine to make sure every time you go down and get government assistance every month. I'm not talking about y'all, because hopefully everybody in here is going up here. I'm saying whoever's left down here is fixing to have to go through what I'm talking about. And you think, you know, hey, you think, well, it's the country bad now. It may be. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Right?
You ain't seen nothing yet. We're in a Sunday school picnic compared to what it will be in the tribulation period.
Amen.
Now, look at this last horse. Verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now, you have horse number 4 that is a pale horse. Pale horse. You got peace, socialism, war and famine, and death and disease. Whoever this horse rider is bringing in something. The swine flu. I don't know. But have you ever wondered why? Let me see if I can think of some of them. Y'all help me. We had the swine flu. That was supposed to kill everybody. We had the bird flu. It was supposed to kill everybody. The West Nile virus. Y'all remember that one? It was supposed to kill everybody. And I've always thought, I said, well, while this virus is killing everybody, what are they doing behind closed doors to get our mind off? It was supposed to kill it. Have we heard about it anymore? Where'd it go? Is it still out there? Did it even really exist? Amazing thing. What was the mad cow disease? What? But in the tribulation, whoever this pale horse rider is going to bring in disease and is going to kill a fourth of a part of the whole earth. And that's what you've got to look forward to if you go through this tribulation period. This pale. Now, I can say a few things about this notice. I don't know if I want to chase that or not. Chase that rabbit or not. But, all right, you're in 6. Go to 9. Chapter 9 and verse number 11. And they had a king over them which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue, Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Both of these names mean perdition. Apollyon, the son of perdition. I'll give you the verses, and I've taught this before. I don't know if I want to go into the whole thing again tonight, but do you know who the son of perdition? Jesus called Judas the son of perdition.
Amen.
Second Thessalonians chapter number 2 talks about the son of perdition being the Antichrist. Jesus said in John 17, he said, I've chosen 12 and one is the devil. The Bible says when Judas died, he went to his own place. As if he owned it. The angel of the bottomless pit. Whomever gets left behind down here, you may see Judas Iscariot again.
Right.
I could tell you a lot about... Look at chapter 13. We've already chased the rabbit. We might as well kill it while we got him chased. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. Those are 10 confederated nations. It's called the European Common Market. His names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. A leopard has a white belly, a yellow body, and black spots. The beast, the Antichrist, will be an integrated, that's Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's all nations mixed into one. A leopard has a white belly, yellow body, and black spots. You ever notice the black spots on a leopard? The black spots on a leopard looks like this. Looks like two lips. Judas betrayed Jesus with a...
Yes.
That's something. Or it could look like the all-seeing eye. The unholy trinity. The beast. The false prophet. And the dragon. Well, hallelujah. let's see here. Where am I? Oh, let's go back to 6. So we don't need to chase any more rabbits. Not tonight. It's too close to Halloween. Y'all might get scared. Revelation 6. And let's see. Verse number 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, in the tribulation period, during this happening, let me explain this. These 7 seals that we're talking about, the first 4 seals released these 4 horses. And then this next seal, seal 5, what happens is John sees some souls under an altar. Remember I told you they're fixing to rebuild the temple over there on the Temple Mount? If they build a temple on Temple Mount, there's going to be an altar there. If they build it to the dimensions like it was in the Old Testament, there's going to be an altar there. Well, you know what's going to be at that altar? Sacrificed unto the Antichrist? Anybody that don't accept the mark of the beast and don't worship his image. Y'all remember what happened to the three Hebrew boys in the Old Testament? Daniel 3? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If you don't bow down to that image, we're going to throw you in the furnace of fire. History repeats itself, right? In the tribulation period, if you don't bow down to this image, we're going to sacrifice you on the altar of the Antichrist, on that temple mount that they're going to build over there. Remember I told you, he's going to come and sit down that temple. When he breaks that treaty, he's going to sit down and proclaim himself God. He says, y'all going to bow down to me. And if you don't, I'm going to cut your head off. Now, when they do cut their heads off, this is what John sees, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. In verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice. This is the people that were killed on this earth. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them. And I said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, let me show you something. They're crying out to God from the earth saying, Lord, we didn't take the mark. We still worship you. See, there are going to be some people saved in tribulation period.
Amen.
Every saved person now leaves right here.
Right.
But there will be some that will see the light during the tribulation period and won't accept the mark of the beast and worship, won't worship the image. And the Antichrist will cut their heads off. They'll become tribulational martyrs,
right,
in the tribulation period. And they're going to say, Lord, we didn't take the mark. We did what you told us to do. How long are you going to avenge? When are you coming to get revenge on who cut our heads off?
Right.
And he said, hang on a minute. Just hang on. Wait till the next seal. Just give me a minute. I'm coming. Matter of fact, it says there's some more going to be killed.
Yeah.
Let them all get killed. And then, watch. Verse number, stay in your seat. Don't shout. Don't get excited. But verse 12, and behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Y'all heard the blood moons and all the big fiasco about the blood moons. Well, there we go. The blood, the moon, became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she's shaken with a great wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? All right, at the end of the tribulation period, chapter 6 takes you through the whole tribulation period in one chapter. Chapter 6, we start with a white horse rider, peace, peace. We come with a second horse rider, so on and so forth. The fifth seal is the souls were beheaded, and so on and so forth. And then the sixth seal is there's an earthquake, a rumbling in the heavens, and here, heaven rolls back as a scroll, and Jesus comes at the same time. And they and the people down here say, hide us from the face of him that sat on the throne. The wrath of Almighty God is fixing to be taken out on this earth. So yes, he will avenge their blood, and it will happen at the same time. You know, a lot of times we look around us and we say, Lord, why do you let this go on? Why did you let that happen? When are you, when are you going to fix that? When are you going to straighten this mess out? And he tells us the same thing. Hang on, I'm coming. And when he does, he's going to fix it. And it won't be pretty to a lot of folks. There's a lot of people don't understand. When they think of Jesus, they think little baby Jesus in the manger.
We're not talking about little baby Jesus in the manger coming back in here. That was a lamb that we're talking about that came in the manger. Little baby lamb. That's why he was born in the stable. He was a lamb. When he comes back right here, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He ain't coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. And anyway, that's going to be something. All right.